Hi. Talk Radio.
Hi.
Welcome to Psychics Gone Wild. We're a group of individual lightworkers joined together to create a community of like-minded souls. A non-denominational group, we focus on our common goal of seeking and walking truth, working in the light, and offering insights and guidance to the best of our abilities. Our purpose is to do good, to provide an enlightening and inspiring service to all, and to promote a happy and harmonious world. Thank you for being part of the journey. Stay tuned for an exciting and enlightening hour. And now, Psychics Gone Wild.
Hi, this is Intuitive Chris White. And this is Psychics Gone Wild, and this is Psychics Gone Wild. Excuse me, having a little bit of technical difficulty here. And okay, there we go. And we were supposed to have a guest today, and she has not shown up in the queue yet. So, this is Intuitive Chris White. If you'd like a reading, call in. And I've been doing this for about 15 years. I read out of my heart chakra. And I generally pull cards. I look at them. They tell me a story. And I have my guides with me that help me interpret that story. And I then I give people readings. And not quite sure. And if anybody's in the chat room is not opening for me. So, and my guest has not called in. Oh, there she is, Renee. Okay, let me answer her.
Hello?
Hi, Renee.
Hi, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay. I'm having a little technical. Go ahead.
I was on another show, so here I am.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'm Intuitive Chris White, and Jethro is, he asked me to do this show for him. And I called you a little bit earlier. I wanted to talk with you. And but we can go ahead and go with the show. Basically, I'm real intrigued with your material, and I'll go ahead and introduce you. This is Renee Mullen. She has a program out, You Are Smarter Than You Think, and an internationally known book, and she also has a teaching program online, and I'm kind of excited about this. I myself have like studied communication for nearly 15 years now, and I found what I read and about your book and your material extremely interesting. I started out with NLP, and I feel like after I read your stuff, I've got like a little piece of communication. So. If you want to go ahead and go ahead and talk about yourself and explain yourself and how you got started.
Okay. Well, my name again is Renee Mullen Masters. Masters.
Oh.
That's okay. And let me start with a story. When I was in school, my learning was always kind of schizophrenic, good and then bad and then good and bad. And when I was in second grade, my very best friend got moved to third grade. And when I asked her why she got moved, she said that the adults had told her that she was smarter than the rest of us. And so then fast forward, we happened to be in a freshman botany class together, and it was taught experientially. If the professor was talking about pine cones, we had a pine cone in our hand. And after the first test, I had the A, and she had a C. And it shook me up. I went, how in the heck did that happen? She's supposed to be smarter than I am. And I didn't really understand the significance of that until I read Dr. Gardner's work in his book, Frames of Mind, a few years after that. And basically what he talked about is that brains are more different than fingerprints and that different brains need different things in order to learn. And so when I was in my high school French class, which was really hard and I wanted to do a really good job, I studied as hard as I knew how to study, and I still got a C. And this friend of mine hardly studied at all, and she got an A, and what I thought to myself was, I'm just not as smart as she is. And that is not the truth. And that's what Dr. Howard Gardner brought to the world, is that that is not the truth, that we all are intelligent. We just have to know how to get to our intelligence and be responsible for it.
That's great. That, I totally agree. As a matter of fact, I went to Dr. Gardner's page, and I was reading some of his stuff, and I was going, gosh darn, you know, and I was thinking about some of my learning experiences, and I seem to retain things better when I have an experience with something than I do if I just read it, you know, and try and memorize it. And that was what I was picking up from your material then, and it took me back to some, you know, some experiences in my life where I'd, you know, because I took a bunch of courses trying to remember names and stuff like that. But if I had an experience with someone that connected me to their name, then I would remember that name. But, you know, the association. Exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, that's exactly true. But let me just throw something in here. A lot of people, when you ask them about math, they say, oh, I'm no good at math. But the truth is, if you know what your brain talent is, if you know how your brain works, you can be really good at math, even though you may not think you have an acumen. That's not your main thing that you're interested in. That's what I bring to the table. Dr. Howard Gardner brings the idea that brains are different and these are the different styles. What I've done is taken his stuff and said, okay, let's give this information to every student and make them responsible for it so that they can be successful no matter what the class is and no matter how good the teacher is. Probably.
Well, I totally agree with you. I think teachers these days are just, they play their same old tape recording and they expect you to remember it. And but the students are, when I was looking at your stuff, I was going, wow, this is sweet. You know, this is because you're giving people a way to, you know, and I guess that's one of my questions is, how is that happening? Can I ask that?
How is what happening? How is it that if you use your brain correctly?
What is it you're giving to people to get, you know, that...
Okay. Well, the way I like to think about it is that every brain is different. Okay, we know that. But every brain has these, you know, I was in Southern California when I put this together, so I have a freeway analogy. We have these eight-lane freeways. Everybody's brain's different. And every one of us have a different set of eight-lane freeways that go directly into long-term memory. And if the information that you're trying to learn, not memorize, if it hops onto an eight-lane freeway, it will go right into long-term memory. And I'll give you a story about that. When I was first putting this program together, I had a student that said, you know, I got to learn a whole bunch of stuff for anatomy and physiology. So we found out she was auditory. She was very musical. She could play the piano without thinking. And she was body kinesthetic. So her eight-lane freeways were auditory, musical, and body kinesthetic. Okay? So okay. She put everything on the tape. She plugged herself into it. She listened to all the information she had to learn. She then played the piano. One time through, she had her mom test her. She knew everything cold. She took the test the next day, got an A on it. And 10 days or a week, 2 weeks later, I asked her, how much of this information do you still remember? She says, I remember all of it.
Oh, that is incredible. That is incredible. And now, what she wasn't, was she thinking about the information, or did she just play through the music?
She just played. She just listened to the tape like she would listen to, you know, someone talking to her. And she played the piano. She didn't try to learn it. She just listened to it. And she played the piano. I mean, this is what's mind-boggling. People don't believe this. But everybody's experienced this. Everybody's had an experience where they heard somebody's name or they heard a song one time and they cannot forget the words. You know,
yes,
people have had this experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Some people, they say their name to me and I remember it. And then other times other people say their names to me and I can't. And now if I do a word association, maybe, maybe not. But that's intriguing. As I was reading your material, I was going, gosh, I wonder what I am. I'm a very visual person. And but see, I'm speaking from that neuro-linguistic programming, you know, frame.
Right. And possibly what you're talking, when I talk about auditory-visual combination, I'm talking about my background speech pathology, and I'm talking about how you process language. And neuro-linguistic commingle funds, which is fine. But I don't do that because I look at it from a different perspective. And when you're in school, you have to listen to a lecture, read textbooks, write papers, read, you know, take tests. And every one of those activities are linguistic. And if you don't know your best channel, and everybody has a preference, and some of the preferences are huge, you just are like walking into a wall.
Yes. I get some books and I read them and I get through with them and I go, okay, I can't even hardly remember what was in them. And I know, I'm like, well, that was a waste of time. And then as I was reading your stuff, God, this is, and you're right. It's really thinking out of the box as far as learning and remembering and retain, because my whole life I have been a real learner, and I've tried to learn a lot. I still really enjoy learning, but you know, sometimes it's a little struggle for me. So when I was reading your stuff, I was going, well, this is sweet. You know, that's probably why Jethro said, well, you know, gave me you to interview, and because he knew I liked that stuff.
You know, may I interject something here?
Go ahead.
It's so refreshing to hear you say that you love learning, because We've lost that in this country. We have lost it in our schools. It's not a value. People don't even know what you're talking about. They think that learning is memorizing. They don't get the difference.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've watched my nephews and nieces grow up, and they're memorizing. It's like,
working,
you know,
so hard and getting nothing.
I know, and I'm thinking, now if I was to go back to them right now and try and ask them about any of that stuff, they probably won't remember any of it, you know.
They won't remember a thing.
Yeah.
And you know
yeah.
what's sad is that the kids graduating from college today, when you ask them, you know, what was your experience like? Did you learn anything? They have such a blank look on their face, like they just, nothing happened. And what research has found out is that when you learn something, there is literally a chemical reaction that happens in the brain. And it changes it completely. So these kids, you know, when I went through school, at the end, I really felt like my college journey, even though it was a struggle at times, it changed me. It grew me up somehow. And I think it was because I was learning. And kids today are not learning.
I totally agree. And I don't, and in life, I, you know, being in the spirituality realm kind of here with myself, you know, things are changing so fast, you know, and I'm looking and going, I'm wanting to learn how to deal with it, you know, and to be able to retain that, like I'm really into manifestation and stuff like that. And yes, exactly. So what you're talking about is kind of like, how can I retain all, because I get on YouTube or I watch all these videos about that. I read these books about that. And it kind of falls together, but how can I retain all that knowledge so I can put it together and have it really work for me? And that was exciting. How would that play into manifestation with?
Well, I'm not, that's a good question. I think that manifestation is the direct result of belief. And you are not going to manifest if you don't believe, if you have in your subconscious a belief that's contrary to what you're trying to manifest. It just isn't going to work. So I've experienced that personally, and I know that that's true. And the thing that I know about this program is it brings people back in touch with themselves. And most people, because of their experiences in school, disconnect from their true selves. When they're little, between ages of, you know, birth and 5 years, they learn massive amounts of material. And one of the reasons they can is they're very connected with their true selves. But once they get into school, because it is not what they would choose. It is chosen for them.
Yes.
And what, you know, and so they, for most people, 2/3 of the population, they spent a whole ton of years in school where they didn't feel like they fit in, and they disconnected from their true selves. Well, if you're disconnected from your true self, you can't even get in touch with what you really want. I mean, what you really want, it's just not there. And you can't connect with the stuff that's between you and what you want. So in that way, it's very connected.
Yes, see here, we're getting a little rapport here, because to me it's like, you know, you're born and you come into the world and you're purely kind of connected to to source energy, and you know, I would call it. And as you start growing, your parents and your whoever you trust start telling you all these stories, and you believe them, and you just move them into your subconscious, and then you start, and that's who you are, and you just run, it's like an automatic robot. You start moving through life, and you start letting other people do it to you too. And so to learn to stop at a minute ago, you said, yeah, that 8-lane highway, you can move straight into your subconscious. And so to me, that is what manifestation is all about, is bypassing that conscious. It's like standing guard at the gate and holding you from getting into your subconscious. And that is wild. That's
I need to correct you a second, because I don't know if it actually goes into subconscious, but it goes into long-term memory. And I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if long-term memory is connected with subconscious. It might be, but I don't know that. That's not something that I have experienced or I know. But I think that just in the process of knowing what your 8-lane freeways are and getting information into long-term memory, it puts you in touch with source energy.
Yeah, and it takes you back.
As you describe it. Yeah, it takes you back.
Takes you back to when you were born, just about, you know, and then you can start building your own story about who you really want to be, instead of living this automatic story that everybody else has told you, you know, that you should be doing. that was a struggle for me for a long time. I still talk with people and go, you know, you are what you think, you know, and they're like, you know, they don't get it, you know, and I finally reached a point where I can kind of stop my thoughts, you know, and I go, what are you really feeling, and try and feel my body and stuff. So I think a lot of your stuff is kind of parallel to, you know, spirituality stuff, you know.
Well, what I feel is that part of the reason why I do this is that, first of all, I know what it feels like to go through school and feel stupid when at some level you know you're not, and not being able to get to that intelligence. That's a cruddy feeling, and it's wrong. You know, I don't want kids, I don't want students, I don't want anybody feeling that anymore. And the second thing is, I want to help our young people and others get reconnected with themselves and appreciating themselves, because that's the first step in opening up to source energy.
Exactly. Yeah, it's learning to love yourself is a struggle, I think, probably for everybody. And for me, now when I was young, my teeth were real messed up, so the kids all made fun of me. So, you know, I have that story back there, and that, you know, that's been heavy to deal with.
We are so mean to one another.
I know, kids are terrible. I can remember, like, yesterday, my first bus ride to first grade, and it was one of the most traumatic experiences I ever had, because I just got on the bus and all the kids just started making fun of me. Getting back to who we really are. And like I said, when I was reading your stuff, I was going, God, this is really sweet. This is like learning to get by that, you know, that part of us that's like, every, you know, we've believed all these stories about, you know, us not being okay. But Renee's found a way to kind of bypass that. That's sweet.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think that I believe this affects 2/3 of the population, where they have had a miserable experience in school. And because of that, there's this little nagging voice that says, You're not as smart as the other guy. And so people play way below their level of potential. And we need people to step up to the plate. You know, there's, you know, we really do. And I think that our country is totally out of balance. I think the linguistic, logical people are, those are the only ones that are doing much. And we need to hear from all the others. They need to step up. And, yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I guess. I totally agree. I mean, I look at the educational system and go, and even, gosh darn, my brother and, well, I'm not going to name names, but a lot of my family homeschool their kids, and they were doing the same thing, you know. So I'm kind of like, you know, it's, and actually several of my nephews, you might could say they had genius IQs, but they definitely could just remember things. Just, they had phenomenal memories. But, you know, if you don't, I don't know. How do you feel about that? You know, it's,
well,
it seems like.
Let me tell you a story. Because
okay, go ahead.
Your nephews may have a phenomenal memory, but you know what? They don't. They don't have a better memory than anybody. It just lined up with their brain. Dr. Gardner talks about in one of his books called The Unschooled Mind, there was a study done where they took the top math and science students from major universities in the United States, and they gave them a test that took problems and changed them just a little bit and asked them to solve the problems. None of the students could do it.
Huh.
And what was, and the point of the story is that even kids who are very talented linguistic and logically, they are not learning, they are memorizing.
You're right. Yes.
And they're really good at it because they're linguistic, but they're not really learning. And the reason they're not learning in school is it's not required.
Yeah. I agree. I myself am finding in this latter part of my life that when I go out and I experience things, I just retain that experience so much more than just memorizing
reading
or thinking about
reading it in a book. And what's cool about that is that in my program, when you find out you're an experiential learner, you learn how to bring that experientiality to what it is that you're reading, so that you can take, like if you're reading a story, you can take and do things with that story to have an experience so that you retain it.
Huh. Okay, well, that's a question. So would you do things with your body experientially, or can you do things in your mind that would, because, they had that movie, The Secret, you know, and I was like, oh, man, they left so much out about this, you know, manifestation stuff, that, you know, your passion to do something has to be, if you're going to change, your passion to change has to be stronger than the passion to keep you stuck in your box and fearful to get out. And can you do that? Can you build enough passion in your thoughts to kind of move by that, or does it have to be?
Well, I don't know. My personal opinion, you can't manifest if the beliefs inside of you don't line up with what you're trying to manifest. And you have to do very specific things to change what's in your subconscious. But that's a different story than what we're talking about here. But let's say that you're just reading a novel or some kind of something, a history, the history of Jefferson. And you want to remember some of the things that he had done. So
uh-huh.
what you do is that in your mind, you make it very real for yourself if you're an experiential learner. One type, there's two different types. But the one type, you actually pretend that that person is real for you. You have an experience of Jefferson being someone that is a friend of yours. And then when they start to talk about different things that he did, you make it real. You do a visualization and make it real. And it takes about 2 seconds to do it. It's not a big thing. But as you go through the book, you're having experiences as you're reading, and when you get done, you're going to remember the whole thing.
Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. Because I don't, you know, as I've gotten a little bit older, my eyes have gotten kind of messed up, and I don't read so much anymore. But so I've started watching DVDs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I could imagine myself being in that DVD with that person and talking to them myself instead of the interviewer. And
exactly.
Yeah, wow, that's something. I was going to ask you a minute ago, you know, well, what if you do if you're and this is another question, what if you do if you're and you know, a lot of people these days, they have anxiety or they're agoraphobic, you know, I can't go do anything. But you're right there, you were saying, yeah, you could do it in your mind though, but you have to be there. You have to really be there and pretend, like, you know, feel the emotions and really be into the moment with them when you're talking to them.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah,
the mind,
yeah,
is amazing.
Okay. That is yeah, I've really enjoyed studying. Like, I've studied a lot on, you know, the right and the left half of the brain, and, you know, the logical and the more, you know, compassionate, intuitive part of the brain, you could maybe say the feminine side of the brain. I don't know. I hate to put labels on things, because the minute you put a label on something, you stick it in a box. But
I know, we do.
I know.
Yeah. We're stuck with language, and language is about three things or four things removed from truth. But you just kind of have to live with that, because we haven't figured out anything else.
When we become telepathic, maybe we'll be able to understand each other.
Yeah.
But
better. Maybe.
Really?
Maybe. But you remember, you know that game called the telephone, where you have a message and then you pass it on to the next person and the next person, and then it comes around and it is totally so screwed up.
Oh, yeah. I know.
It's like whoa. But
that happens in my life. You know, that happens in normal life all the time. You know,
you know why it happens? Because people don't know how they process language best. I had a guy that was in one of my workshops, and he worked in this company, and he said, you know, I got this problem. He said, we found out that he was a combination learner. And so he said, you know, you can't believe it. He said, my wife calls me up at work and asks me to go to the store on the way home and bring something home. And he said, I always forget. And so, and he said, I wonder if maybe when she calls, if I would write it down, because I'm combination, I would remember to do it. So I talked to him a few weeks after that workshop to ask him how things were going. And he said it was amazing that his wife would call and he would write it down. He didn't even take the paper with him, but because he had written it down and he had received the information, when he went home, he would remember to go to the store and get things. And his workers told him that something had really changed with him, because when they would come in and they would have meetings and he was supposed to do some things for them, he would always write it down, that he had never done that before. He wrote it down, and they said that his follow-through was totally changed, that they couldn't believe he was just so much easier to work with.
That's incredible. That's, you know, I myself have been journaling. Well, I've been, that's how God talks to me a lot, is through my dreams. And I have, sometimes I have four or five dreams a night. And I used to use a little recorder and talk into it, but then my friends kept going, no, you need to use your hand and physically write it down. So I started doing that. And when I started doing that, I could remember the dreams. When I was using the recorder and talking into it, I couldn't remember them. And it was always hard to go back and find the dreams on the recorder. But I can, yeah, that's I can see that. I can see
and
that.
And that's because you're a combination learner. Whereas some people, like, you know, when I first put this thing together, I was wondering, I wonder if people have a preference. And what I found out is some people, if they hear it, they get like 90%. But if they read it, they get about 30. And if they hear it and read it together, they get 20. And you can see where that would make a huge difference with if they were in school or if they were working and had to learn something. I mean, it could really change everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's making me wonder about if I listen to more audiobooks. I wonder what that would do for me.
It's not a combination. And if you listen to an audiobook, you would have to make it a combination. And that means that you might have to visualize when you're listening to the audio, or you wouldn't remember it.
Oh, I'm getting it. Okay. I'm wanting to use that word submodities, but it's like stacking submodities a little bit. But it isn't, because it's a different. Those aren't submodities. But Well, a submodity is like you know, whether you're well. Okay, submodities in NLP is like, I was using that word wrong. Really, submodities is like your voice high, low, you know, what the pitch is that when you talk about your voice. But I was thinking when you stack the visual with the auditory, with the feeling, with the, you know, and stack more of those in there. Because that, I've tried to develop that myself. Where I can, because you know when you talk with people, sometimes they're real visual, and you can hear it in their language. I saw this, I saw that. I'm gonna go and over here, and I really love the way those look, you know. Or I hear this, I hear that. And can you hear that? And you can listen to their language and talk. Those are that's what I was talking about.
Right.
But that's sweet. That's sweet.
I'd like to say something here.
You take all the time you want. That's why we're here today, just to let you talk.
I feel like, there's been such a kind of like people had their hands over their eyes. And I feel like if I was a teacher, I would want to make my classroom as difficult as I could and really challenging and inspiring. But at the same time, I would want to help every student know how they learn best so that they have the potential to get an A. And my goal, if I had been successful, every person in that room would have gotten an A. And I feel like somehow in classrooms, that is missing. That learning has been lost, the desire for learning. And I feel like, you know, everybody should have the potential to be successful. Everybody. And everybody can be successful. but they have to have the tools in order to be successful. And in, I don't think there's one classroom in this country that ever asked the question, do you know how to learn? I mean, it just isn't asked.
No, it's not. It's not. And that's what, you know, when Jethro said he gave me your information, I was going, I went to your site and I was looking all through it and looking through all your stuff. I was going, oh my gosh, this is like NLP blown up, you know, and this is sweet. And so I totally agree. I'm going to get your program in your book, but I just didn't have time. And but I searched the internet looking for your stuff to read it, and I'm real turned on by what you're doing, and I think it's that yes, the school, our country needs to change the way it teaches, and
well, it doesn't really need to change the way it teaches. It needs to change the way it helps their students learn. It's like we need to start talking about the elephant that is in the room. And the elephant that is in the room is the fact that everybody learns differently. And it's the student's responsibility to know how to deal with that. Because as a teacher, you can't. There's no way.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, but you'd kill yourself. It's not the best way. We want to empower students. Let's empower the student with this information that can stay with them for the rest of their lives and make their lives easier.
So you would advocate just starting that early on in first grade,
Why not? Why not?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, you could, because some of the things you've been telling me, the teacher could have the book, but how would you do that with first graders?
I don't know. That would be somebody else's job to figure that out. But I could, when they got to high school, I could really kick it in. I mean, they could begin to talk about it. You know, that's what they do in Montessori and Waldorf, that's all they do. They honor people's learning differences by letting them choose what they want to learn. It's not, that's what they're doing. But then when you get them to high school and junior high and college, then you want to formalize it. That's when you plug them into my online program, which takes 2 hours to get through.
Yeah.
They take two self-evaluations, and then they are told exactly how they transform any learning situation, and they can go back and relook at that program for a whole month. So so they can apply it, then they can go back and watch some of the videos again, and they can apply it, and then they can go back and check. And I had somebody that signed up for the program yesterday. I couldn't believe it. And she finished it.
Oh, my gosh.
Same day. I mean, it takes 2 hours to go through it. She did it, and she did it in 2 hours.
Wow! That's incredible. I'm gonna go do that. That's because like I said, I love learning, and I'm into a bunch of stuff right now that I'm trying to pick up. I'm trying to learn, and it's happening. But it would be sweet if it was happening a lot faster.
And it will happen a lot faster. Guaranteed.
Yes.
Let me know what you think when you do that. Keep
I will do that. I had some questions here. Boy, I've got jumped way off topic. But,
that's okay.
And creativity outside the box. I wrote that down because I was like, I love that.
And that's what happens when people get things like, let me just tell the story. in nursing, one of the problems that they were having is that the kids were, number one, coming in. They didn't know how to learn, so they were dropping out like flies. But also, in nursing, you have to critical think. You have to think outside the box because human beings are not, you know, they're not robots. They react differently. And so what the nurses discovered is that when the student actually got the information into long-term memory because the kids were using their brain correctly, all of a sudden they were able to automatically critical think. And they were becoming much better nurses because of that.
I don't want to throw a damper on this, but my dad passed last year, and I spent 2 weeks in the hospital with him and the nurses, and that would be so good for the nurses to learn, you know, and to critically think. And
a lot of schools have used my program, and so the students have, you know, the nursing students have learned to critical think. But if they're not really learning it, if it's not required, nobody does it. There is, you know, one of these amazing statistics. I was looking at some something stuff on the internet, you know, and I found out there's probably been 50 studies done on teacher expectations. And what they have found is that a student will not perform any higher than what the teacher expects. Isn't that incredible?
That is, and I totally can understand that. One of the last books I read was called The Placebo Effect. So it's kind of, you know, whatever the doctor says, whatever the teacher says, you know, what they expect is where the student goes or where the
exactly.
patient goes.
Exactly.
It's crazy. It really is. I really don't enjoy going to the doctor a lot, you know, because I'm like, oh gosh, I'm going to go in here and he's going to, you know, pronounce this diagnostic on me, and I go in there now and I'm like, you know, I'm just not going to believe it. I'm going to believe I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be healed. But
that's good.
It is, and I haven't gone to the doctor a lot. I was sick last year a little bit, but my whole life, especially the last 20 years since I've been doing this, I've done that. But I, going back to the nurses, yeah, when I was with my dad, it was like the nurses, I guess they probably hadn't done your program because they were like doing this. They had this rote routine that they just would go, you know, periodically they had their time set where they go check the patients, and they weren't, it just didn't seem like they were coming in and looking at my dad and trying to understand what was going on or anything. They just were doing what was written on the chart.
Right.
And that's why I stayed with him. He had a real hard time hearing and seeing. So, you know, I stayed with him so I could because I knew what I could communicate with him. I could help me communicate with the nurses. But, this is exciting stuff. I'm looking through my questions.
You're looking through your questions, let me say, if people want to get more information, go to my website, which is youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. It's youaresmarterthanyouthink.com. And when you go there, there's a bunch of videos. Watch them. I mean, there are people telling you, this is what happened for me. And also, there's two free downloads. I don't even want your email. They're totally free. And one is, if you have students or children that are going to college, you don't want to make these mistakes. And the other one is living your life not knowing your brain talents is disastrous. So go over there and download those pages that I have there for you, and take a look at all the videos. There's even a trailer on my online training. So you go and you watch this trailer, and it lets you see what the whole thing is like inside. So you can decide whether or not you want to do it.
Huh. That's, now, I went to your site, and I did look at the PDF docs. You know, I was, as I was moving through your stuff, I was going, oh, God, this is so cool. This is so cool. I could, you know, and I did make it to the YouTube site today. And I will go back and watch that for sure.
But okay, and the that, if you go, that's, yeah, okay, you'll find it. It's
yeah, because I.
Yeah, you'll find it.
That's one of my strong points. I did computers for a while. I worked on computers, and my strong, I could fix things because I'd look at them and go, you know, this problem's here. Somebody else is having it, and I just type in Google, blah blah blah, and they'd somebody come up and go, I'm having this problem, and they'd have the answer. You know, so
isn't that amazing? That's so amazing.
I know.
Crazy.
I know. This, yeah, but gosh, you know, Renee, I love this book, and I definitely will be getting it. And you know, I wanted to ask you, what do you think about autistic children? Do you have a view on that, or?
My brother's autistic.
Is he?
Mm-hmm. I lived with one all my childhood.
Wow.
What is your question?
I was wondering if can your program help like autistic children, and you know.
I don't know. It's not really made for people with a problem. It's made for average Joe Blows. It's made for everybody. And whether it can help an autistic child, I don't have a clue. I haven't had an autistic child do it. But it could.
Yeah.
It could. I don't want people to think this is for people that have problems. This is for people like you and I. We all have problems.
Yeah.
And we just kind of discount those things, and we're not functioning at a high enough level. And whether or not it works with autistic, I know for a fact that it's very difficult to figure out to get an autistic child to take the self-evaluation. It's almost impossible.
Wow. Yeah, I think autistic children are like geniuses. They just have so much stuff pouring into their head, it's hard for them to process it. But
my brother has probably 180 IQ in math and science, but he cannot take care of himself at all. He can't do life. His highest level of job is delivering pizzas.
Oh, well. Yeah, see, there you go. They are smart. They're smart, but
in certain areas. But they don't, but there's other areas, and everybody is smart in certain areas, and they have other things that are going on with them, too.
Yeah. Well, this has been an incredibly interesting conversation for me, not only about the learning and retaining knowledge, but even going back to the source energy when you were born, you know, being able to get past your that guard, get into the long, because I think your long-term memory is kind of part of your subconscious getting into that part of the brain. Now, that's just my opinion. Some people might want to argue with that, but I think that would be phenomenal, be able to get by that and get stuff in there. And, you know, we're getting down. We got about 6 minutes left of the show. Let me, because we're being sponsored by, you know, anyone listening, you know, please go to the psychicsstore.com and psychicsgonewild.com. And this month we're talking about Thanksgiving, and gosh, thanks, you know, thank you for this program, Renee. This has been a Thanksgiving gift for me.
Thank you for having me. That's my Thanksgiving gift from you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I've enjoyed this conversation, and I especially, you know, I'm so much into manifestation. You know, I'm real tired of a lot of the stuff that's, and I'm not even going to go into it in my life, but I'm real tired of it, and I'm changing. And I have actually manifested some stuff, you know, for myself. This program is one, you know, and I am not really a get on the radio program person, but I have started doing it, and I've, you know, now people are going, oh, well, you do good. You sound good on the radio. So I'm like, oh, wow. So, did a little bit of bunny hopping there, but I also want to say, you know, if you want to get in touch with Renee Molin Masters, you can go to your, and what was your website again?
It's www.youaresmarterthanyouthink. You are smarter than you think. It's all written out. .com.
Yeah, that is so funny that it's such a play on words, too, because what we think is who we are.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
And so we're thinking we're this way, but we really are smarter than that,
yeah,
that thought.
We are. We're just a whole lot smarter than we think. Yep, that's true.
That's incredible. Well, I've enjoyed this interview, and I'm glad Jethro gave it to me to do.
Oh, I'm glad he did too.
Do you have we got 3 minutes left. Do you have anything you want to close out the program with?
Yeah, I would like to put a word out. If there are teachers out there that are listening, please contact me. I have helped so many teachers integrate this into their classroom. And I would love to help you too. So if you're a high school teacher or a college professor, call me and let's start the ball rolling with this. So, and you can find my email and all that on my website. So I look forward to hearing from you.
Yes. And I would give that a thumbs up. I think Renee Molin Masters is on to something good, and you'll find her book, You Are Smarter Than You Think, and her program there.
And if they want the book, they can go to Amazon too. It's at Amazon.
Yeah, I think on your site you get the book if you do the program.
Yeah, right.
So I was looking at that. You know, I'm 90 seconds. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, that,
90
that
seconds.
Was, yeah, I just heard that. Yeah, I guess that's for the host. But, I would encourage you to go over there and really do the program. I'm kind of a program freak myself in a way. But I read.
Well, I just want to say, we got 50 seconds. I just want to say, everybody, this is an opportunity to believe in yourself. It's important. We need to all start doing that. Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Renee. And I, like I said, I enjoyed it. And we're getting ready to go off here in 1 minute. And I'll put in some promotion for our site again, www.psychicsgonewild.com. And he just put this new site up. And see, I wouldn't even look at my papers while we were talking. The Psychic Store. I don't know, 10 seconds. Did it say? Anyway, psychics store, where that's with 2s's.com. Go over there. Jethro's got a lot of stuff for sale there, and a lot of neat stuff, and he's reasonably priced. And come visit our site too. And we're getting ready to go off here. So Renee, I really enjoyed it, and I think Jethro said he's having you back in December. And I don't know if he's talked with you about that, but goodbye.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.